Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to Revelations, the 11th chapter. I was talking about that shining light, talking about His glory, His presence. Brother Ronnie, it is that light that it shines. He's a unique kind of guy that you just love Him. If you're around Him very much, you just love Him, Him and His wife. We'll get into a little bit more this morning, but we will get there in a few minutes. It's kind of like getting into the temperature of the room. You got to feel everybody out. Now, when y'all were singing about that war song a little while ago, I was about ready to get shouty. Right. Get ready. Amen. I have to watch these steps because this color carpet, I don't know if that's the right one or not. Amen. So I have to watch it. Garnet gold, oh Lord. Hallelujah. We just lost some, but we gained some. Amen. Revelation, the 11th chapter, we're going to look in verse number 1. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given to the Gentiles and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And it will give him... And I will give power unto the two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God on the earth. And if any man shall hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven. And the rain not in the days of their prophecy. Rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over water to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often they will. Verse number 7. And when they shall finish their testimony. Come on, how many knows you got to have a testimony? Yeah. The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make a war against them. And shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people of the kindred and the tongue and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to another because 2 prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Last verse. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. I want to preach this morning on the thought, are you rapture ready? All right. I believe that we need to be rapture ready. Now, there's many that believes it's going to be the pre-trib, and I'm a pre-tribber. There's some that believes it's going to be a mid-trib. That's in the middle, about where I read today. And there's some that believes that there's a post, that we're going to go through the great tribulation. But I'm praying that God will take us out of here before it's too late. Amen. And I believe that. And I believe that the scripture tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, he said, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of archangel and trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those that remain to be caught up together to to meet him in the air. How many knows that we're going to be leaving here in a little while? We got to understand that Jesus is finna come back, and we're doing everything that we know to do to work for the kingdom of God. And I believe Brother Ronnie is working and doing everything he knows, because he knows there's a day coming that Jesus is finna step on that cloud. The Bible tells us in Revelation of the 4th chapter here, that pre-trib, he said, "And this I looked, and behold the door." How many knows there's a door? You better get ready to walk through that door. He said the door was open in heaven, and the first voice of him heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, in which he said, "Come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter." So I want to preach this morning on really verse number 1, but I'll read all that what I read just to kind of bring you to the point, because I believe the rapture is about to take place. We better do everything we know to do now. We better get busy about the Father's business. We better understand that the day and the hour that is to win souls for the kingdom. When them testimonies started coming, I started shouting almost inside of me, because I hear the same thing. Souls are being saved. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. And so there's got to be a difference. There's got to be a difference made in this last hour, in this last day. And I believe Brother Ronnie's making a difference here in Crystal River. I'm excited to hear several things that's going on, and God's doing some great things. But as we know that there's pre and mid and post, there's one thing in common that's going to happen to all of them, and it's going to be the rapture. They might be, some believe this and believe that, but we need to know that Jesus is coming. And Jesus is coming very soon, and we need to make up our minds that we're going to serve him, we're going to magnify him, and we're going to lift up the name of Jesus, and we're going to live the way we should and act the way we should and talk the way we should, because there's a day coming that Jesus is going to come out, and he's stepping out on that cloud, and we're going to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for real. We need to know that Jesus is alive and well this morning. He loves us so much that he cares for us, and he loves us so much that he said, "If you'll just call on my name, if you'll understand," he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." And so we need to know this morning that Jesus loves us. So I want us to look this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer just one more time, and ask the Lord to anoint this house one more time. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Listen, we can understand that there's a lot of words that come, but when the Spirit speaketh expressly to us, we can get a hold of it, and we grab a hold to it. The anointing can get a hold of your life, and you can realize that he loves you and he cares for you. He says, "I want you to get ready." The Spirit is speaking today, that's saying, "Listen, heaven's finna come back. Know that you better know that you know that the rapture is about to take place." Father, we ask you this morning, God, once again, Lord, as we come to this house, Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus and we magnify your name. We give you praise and give you glory and give you honor. And Lord, we ask you, Father, Lord, to touch us, Lord, one more time in this place. And Lord, let your presence fall in this house like we've never seen it before. Lord, as never before, we ask you, Lord, that souls be saved. Souls be encouraged. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will hear your voice completely, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Here we understand that he says three things that's going on. I want you to know that this morning, that he tells us, he said, "Listen," he said, I want you to know that there's a place that we need to understand, that we need to measure. The Bible said that there's an angel went out and he measured that temple first. I believe that we need to come back again and realize there's some things that we need to measure. I believe that before the rapture takes place, we have a chance, an opportunity to say, "Lord, I want to see a move of the Spirit of God. I want to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God to move in our life," because we need to measure and make sure that everything is right. Everything is right. Why? Because it's not a second chance in that. Once that rapture takes place, you might go through the tribulation. You might give your head, but I want to tell you something. You better make sure. I don't want to do that. I want to go up in the first trip. I want to go when the rapture says it's going to happen. I'm going to go up that quickly. I'm going to hear that voice. But we want to look at the measure of the temple. He says, "Listen, now, that's your spiritual house. That's that house that we need need to examine. That's that house that we need to know. The scripture tells, he said, know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He said, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He wants us to know that. He said, ye are the temple of God. There's times that we need to examine ourselves and say, Father, I just want to believe that you want me to know that the love of God is in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to preach the way I feel like preaching this morning. I feel like preaching in the power of God. I believe we need to know that the Spirit of God wants us to know. He said, know ye not, ye are the temple of God. We need to examine ourselves, measure up. Are we really walking the way we should walk? Are we really talking the way we should talk? Come on, I believe there's times that we need to make up our minds, that we check ourselves. We need to look again and know that we need to examine ourselves. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 4:17, he said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Listen, we got to realize that we got to examine ourselves. We got to make up our minds that we're going to say, Father, I want to examine. I want to measure this thing now. I want to make sure I'm going to make it to heaven. I don't want to get there and you say, depart from me, that work of iniquity. Listen, we have to have a mind made up. We have to have a will that says, listen, I'm not letting nothing hinder me. I'm not letting nothing stop me. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to say, God, I'm going to serve you with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul, because he wants us to measure today. Check ourselves. Listen, the Bible tells us in Matthew, the 25th chapter, talking about the five was foolish and five was wise. We need to realize that there's some today that we sitting in church, we going out through the world, that we got to realize. He says, listen, he said, don't measure that. Judgment begins at the house of God. We need to understand that today is the day of salvation. Today, are we really sold out? This is the smart group. They always told me, they said that early church is a smart group. He said they get up early. They get busy about the kingdom. But we need to check our own selves one more time. We need to make sure that everything is right. I know we smart this morning. We got smartphones. I had to get me one of them things. Man, I had a dumb phone long enough. Come on. We've got to have a mind made up that we're going to get smart. But see, we understand that we measure ourselves and we check ourselves. And because, see, we all in church, but there was five that was foolish. There was five that was wise. And when the bridegroom come to get his bride, there was some that ran out and didn't have no oil. We need to judge ourselves. We need to judge. Matthew 7:12, he said, 7:1, he said, judge not that ye need be not judged. He said, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Don't look over and judge this one. We need to self-examine ourselves today. We need to ask God, am I fired up, filled up, flowing over for the kingdom of God? Am I measuring up to where God wants me to be? I don't know about you, but I said, God, I want to measure myself. I woke up at 3:00 this morning. I said, God, I want to measure myself. I don't want to go nowhere and do nothing without you. Want me to be in the presence of the power of God. We've got to come back to that altar and say, God, measure it one more time. But he says, listen, the measure of the temple of God. We need to examine ourselves, because see, in the 2 Timothy 3:5, he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If you're not careful, you can have a form, but and just leave out the power. We need the power of God to fall. We need the Holy Ghost to move. At the early service, at the mid service, at the night service, we need the Holy Ghost. And if we get fired up, filled up, flowing over, I got news for you. The Spirit of God's going to move across this sanctuary, and you're going to see people come to the early service packed out. And so we understand that he says, measure the temple. He said, no, you're not. You're the temple of God. So it's your spiritual house. But then he says, measure the altar. Now, this is where the song got into me a little while ago. That war. Come on, we got to understand it's a war out there. There's a battle going on. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. So when we understand that we in a war all the time, the enemy is always trying to take us back. The Bible said wherever good is, evil is always there, trying to tug us back, pull us back into that world, pull us back into things in the world. But we've got to understand, we got to measure our altar. Are we where we need to be with God? Are we got our spirit condition? Is it everything right? Is everything okay? Are we ready to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to take back what the devil stolen from me. Listen, the enemy is always coming. He's always trying to tug at you. He's always trying to attack you. But I got news for you. I get that armor of God on. I gird up them loins. I put on that breastplate of righteousness. I put on the boots of the gospel of peace. I get that shield of faith. He said, above all, take the shield of faith. Put the helmet of salvation. He said, get that sword, which is the word of God. He said, listen, we've got to realize we need to get full of the Holy Ghost. We need to have the power of God. Are we our spiritual condition so weak that we don't even know when the devil's trying to attack our finances, trying to attack our health, trying to attack everything? Listen, if we'll check out altar, we'll spend some more time there here this altar. We'll pray and say, God, I need to see a revival in my life, because when revival stirs up in my life, it's going to affect somebody else. Honey, we better have a mind made up that we're going to get so attached with God, talking with Him. He says, pray without ceasing. Continue to pray. Continue to glorify God. Continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We better get equipped, because there's a war going on, and we better realize, we better understand, we're going to have to do something about it. Notice on the news the other day, Putin attacked. We ain't doing nothing. Nobody's doing nothing. Listen, we better stand with Israel. We better make up our minds that we're going to come back and pray. Prayer can change things. I know that the governments and everything's messed up, but listen, he says in Acts 1 and 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. How many knows you need the power of the Holy Ghost? I need the Holy Ghost to come upon you. He said, ye shall be witnesses. He said, listen, we need to examine ourselves, get that whole armor of God, understand that we need to pray like we need to never let up. He said, pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, pray in the power of God. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray for your brothers and sisters. I pray. I say, God, I won't see Brother Ronnie's church just it be the biggest church in the state. I would love to see it just fill up. Why? I get excited when my friends, I hear them at the church, it takes exploding and going, and souls being saved and the power of God's moving. When Brother Mike talks, he said the church is blowing up. They're doing great. I love to hear it. Why? I'm not jealous. I'm excited. I'm excited because he said He's going to save souls. We got to pray. We got to pray. God only knows who you pray for in the mornings. You're going to get some, every person gets saved. As long as I keep praying for this church, I get a little piece of it. Come on. And the young fella that's going to come and marry her one day, why? I pray for her. She don't even know me hard. She's a little bitty baby. She was in the crib. Me and my wife lived with Brother Ron and them for a few months after I left the church. My wife told her a little while ago, she said, she'd cry. She'd go peep her head in the door. She said, oh, go to sleep. Now she's grown, gone. Brother Ron said, oh, I'm sorry. but she's not married. So I guarantee he's praying. I guarantee I pray. I seen her in camp meeting. She didn't know me. I seen her walking down. I said, whoop, there's a boy right there probably trying to chase her down.
Come on.
You better pray for your family. You better pray for your loved ones. You better pray for your future husbands and your future wives and your children's husbands, children's wives. Why? The devil's always trying to set traps. My daughter, before she got married, she said, Daddy, she said, You always pray these boys away from me. I said, I sure do.
That's right.
I said, then some knotheads and, you know, they ain't. And she said, but Daddy, I tell them the rapture's finna take place. Heaven's finna come back. I told him, I can't kill you, but I'll shoot you. You're talking about my daughter, boy, you get mad. But all of a sudden I told my, she said, but Daddy, I want to have babies. I said, babies? Grandchildren. Oh. So that changed my prayer life. My prayer life changed, because then I said, I want some grandbabies too. I said, Lord, I went to church, started praying for her. Lord, send her the right husband. I said, Lord,
I said, I don't even care if he's bad. And about time I said, I don't want that. I said it right in that church. I can take it to the place. I said, okay, God, I done said it. But I said, I want him to at least have some Pentecostal roots. At a Hosford, Florida, Assembly of God church, a little grandmother praying for her grandson. He come around dating, want to date my daughter. End up marrying her. And I said, listen, I said, I'm going to tell you like I tell the rest of them. I said, you know, because I had to stop praying, kill them, get rid of them, you know, turn. I said, I had to change my prayer. So I changed it, but I talked to him. I come to him. I said, hey, he said, can I have her hand in marriage? I said, where's your checkbook at? I said, if you ain't a tithe payer, you can't be marrying my daughter. He said, I'm a junior deacon. I said, what in the world does a junior deacon do? He said, I mow the grass. I said, well, that's good. I said, but now let me see your checkbook. I said, we're going to get to the, you know, where the root of everything is. Because if you ain't tithing, I don't care what you do, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be under that bondage, under that depression, under that thing that you can't come in and lift your hands and worship and magnify God. But all of a sudden, he come to that place. He said, he showed it to me. And I said, well, you did pay tithes last month. You get paid by the month or by the week. You know, I was getting kind of directed. I said, listen, we got to understand that there's prayer. There's prayer's got to continue to go. But how many knows that we need to line this thing up? We can pray, pray, pray. But if we don't line up with the Word of God, we're going to miss out on the blessings, on the supernatural, on the blessings of God. So we need to realize that God's still God and He always will be God. But we need to realize that we should be witnesses and we should lift up the name of Jesus with our prayer life. But we need to be witnesses. And I thought about them witnesses, that them two that came. I know that everybody's got different ones and who they want to be, but I just want to talk about being a witness, because He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to know that He wants to give us power to be witnesses into this lost in our world. But in 11:3, he said, and I will give you power unto the two witnesses. Listen, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And I started reading that thing. I said, sackcloth, that sounds like mourning. That sounds like everybody mourning. I started thinking about that thing. I said, Lord, I said, they were mourning. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, just because you're mourning does not mean that you're defeated. There's something. Sometimes that you feel like you're about to go under, and sometimes you feel like you can't go no further. You're taking two steps, one step forward and two steps backward. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know this is a smart group, but I want to tell you this morning, that all of us sometimes we get there because we dressing because the devil's attacking. If we'll learn to pray again, if we'll learn to talk to God again, if we'll get along with God again, we'll see an outpouring of the power of God. He's ready to pour His Spirit out one more time. Listen, he said that all of a sudden that it looked like their worst days was on them. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, their worst days is your best days. And I said, I said, Lord, they got the power. They might look like it from the outside world. See, everybody's looking from the outside, but you don't know what's on the inside. You don't know what's on the inside. There's sometimes it's kind of like that rich multi-billionaire that says, well, I can just, I got so much money, I'm going to just pick me out about 20 guys and challenge them to give them millions of dollars. So he called them all out and he set them over there. Called him over to his house. He had a big old swimming pool. And all of a sudden, he said, anybody that would swim from one end of the swim pool to the other end of that swim pool, he said, I'll give them millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, he heard a splash. Son, that boy was in that swim pool. He's just getting it just as hard as he got it. But they forgot to tell him there was alligators in that swimming pool. And then all of a sudden he heard a splash. And then all of a sudden he was a swimming, kicking and screaming and hollering. And he swam hard as he could swim. He got to the other end of that thing. And he climbed out. And the guy said, "Man," he said, "you made it." He said, "All I want to know, who pushed me?" You know, and that's the way we ought to be. Who pushed me? When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, "Who pushed me?" Because push is pray until something happens. I seen that on t-shirt one time. I said, "Good Lord." I said, "We need to keep praying until something happens. We need to keep praying until something happens." It don't matter where you go through. You might have to go through the fiery furnace. You might have to go through the lion's den. You might have to go through the alligators. Come on. You go to Gainesville, baby. You're going to go through it. Come on. Woo, I got in flesh here. If you don't know it, I'm a gator. Oh, but my wife's Seminole, so we balance the thing out. Come on. But he says, "Listen, we got to pray. This is a year that we need to celebrate, because we done been praying. Huh? We done been believing. We've been praying until something happens. I've been praying that God will break forth like we've never seen it before. Do you know this is Jubilee? This is the 50th year. This is the time that we need to celebrate. This is time we've been praying for. This is time the harvest finna come in. This is the time that the power of God finna be loosed on the earth like we never seen before. Miracle is going to happen. The power of God's going to move. The Holy Ghost is going to flood. The Spirit of God just wants to touch us one more time. We need to make up our minds that we're saying, God, I've got to understand. I've got to examine my prayer life. Am I really pushing? Am I really seeing people getting saved? Honey, I can't change them, but all of a sudden I can pray for them. I can pray that God will convict them. Don't let them sleep. Let them be stirred one more time. Pray for them lost husbands, lost wives. I got news for you. We need to pray, pray, pray. Examine our prayer life. Are we really praying? Come on. You know about the prayer room. Anybody heard about the prayer room? War room? Talk about praying. Went and seen that. Our whole church went. We took a bunch of them. Watched it. Now all of them wants to pray. I said, "Man, I've been preaching this thing for a year and a half. What's up with this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All these other things be added unto you." Oh Lord. I won't ever get to worship. So I'm going to do this. Listen. This is what I was battling about this morning. Because I said, "God, I had a dream about this church. Way back. It's been..." I told my wife, I said, "I can't really remember. I won't get to worship. I'll get that later. But I want to do this morning." And because I fought God with it all night long. Woke up at 1 o'clock, woke up at 3 o'clock. I said, "God, I won't not do this." He said, "If I tell you to do it, you do it." But I had a dream about this church. And when I come to this church, I was coming to speak to men. And then all of a sudden God says, "Well, there's no difference, man or woman, last night. But I had a dream that when I come here, I took and had a wad of $50 bills. And I passed out the $50 bills to everybody in this church. I just passed it out. And I said, "Listen," I said, "this church is blessed." And I said, "This church, the people in it's blessed. He'll bless you coming. He'll bless you going. But hear what I'm telling you, because the Lord spoke to me last night." I ain't told Brother Ronnie nothing. I ain't telling about the dream. But I said, God said, "Tell them to sow." He said, "Because if you'll sow, I don't care what else they are doing. I don't care what else the church has done or going to do or has done. This is separate. This is a God thing. Because he told me. He said, tell them if they'll sow. He said, I'll bless them financially and physically. I need a supernatural healing. And God says, you be one of them to sow this morning. He said, but you sow $50. He said, I won't. And I said, I mean, it was just like, well, 150 people, Lord, will give $50 to Brother Ronnie. And if I'd have told him, he'd have said, don't do that. I'm just doing it this morning. If he don't get my $50, he's going to get $50. I'm going to get my healings. And I'm going to get some financial blessing come to me because he's the sower of the seed. Listen, this is what he gave me the word this morning. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Turn your Bible there real quick. Like. Now he that ministereth the seed to the sower, both ministered bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now, I want to read it in the easy read version. God is the one who gives seed to those who plant, and he gives bread for food. And God will give spiritual seed and make that seed grow. He will produce great harvest from goodness. And what I'm saying this morning is your pastor. Then I said, Lord, I said, so I went to bed. I said, God, I don't want to do this. He said, I didn't ask you. He said, I said, well, Brother Ron, won't he? His church blessed him. He said, I don't care. He said, I'm going to give you seed to sow. So I went to the bank this morning and got my $50. Because I said, God, I'm not going to miss out on my blessing. Because I examined my heart. I examined everything. And so if you're in here this morning, and if you will, listen, and he says, well, they might not have brought $50. I said, that's all right. God says, give them 4 weeks to do it. That's $12.50 every week. Don't go to this church. Don't. It goes to his pocket. Now, if you love your pastor and if you believe God's word, that you say, well, I don't have $50. Some of y'all got more than $50. Thank God I got more than $50. But if you got $50 this morning, if you got it on you, and if you want to sow it to your pastor, see, he don't like this. He don't like it. I know he don't like it, but I got the microphone right now. And I will be subject to him in next service, but y'all the smart group. But if you got $50 this morning, and if you want to sow it now, if you don't have it, you write him a note and you bring it to him and you put it in hand, and he's going to expect his $50 in 4 weeks. I'm just telling you. And when you do this, God's going to bless you. He's going to give you the $50 back, then some. Listen, he'll do it then some. But some of you need some healing, not just for your, I'm sowing it for some healing. See, money cometh. I get up every morning, send them angels. I said, money cometh to me now. All of a sudden, before I left yesterday, somebody knocked on my door and said, here, Pastor, I heard that you got to go to the doctor. I want to bless you. He gave me $250. Said, I just want to bless you. You know, so money comes. Money ain't the problem. It's are we going to be obedient? You're the smart group this morning. Now, I'd hope the smart group be smarter than the 11 o'clock group. Because y'all get up early. Hello. What time? I got time? All right. Stand your feet all across this building. Father, we ask you, Lord, this morning as we sow our seed in this house, This is above, beyond all the other seeds that's being sown or the cards that's being given, the money that was already planned to get this extra, Lord. This is money that, God, that we're sowing because you give it to us to sow. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless this pastor, this house, and his family. Don't worry about Sister Sherry. If he's blessed, she's blessed. If she's blessed, her children's blessed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.